You're listening to Amar B'Chazarot, Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Erevin, Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph, starting at the bottom of Chaf Vav Amud Beis, Hadron Alech Rosen Pas and Mazel Tov, starting the third parak of Erevin, but again over 25% of the way to through this incredible Masechta. Starting the new Mishnah. It does mention an Erev, and we do mention an Erev here, and then we're going to have a nice array of topics coming up on this Amud. B'chol ma'aravin u'mishtatvin chutz min ha'mayim u'min ha'melach. You're allowed to make an Erev and a shituf with anything except for mayim and water and salt. So what we mean over here is not to make the actual string of the Erev, but in order to join.
Excuse myself, I can't breathe in the fumes from mops, chlorine, or whatever. Okay.
Can we change the location? So yeah, we're not talking about using the salt and water to make this string of the Erev. We're talking about joining together people in a chatzer or shituf is for joining people together in a mavoi, and what they need to do is they need to use food, right? Everyone has to co-own, so typically we say a loaf of bread or what's practically used is matzah, so it's just lasts a little bit longer than bread. So that's what's used. So it doesn't have to be bread. It can be really any type of food, except for water and except for salt. Those are two exceptions to the rule. Now, other halachos for which water and salt are the exceptions to the rule. V'hakol nikach b'kesef meiser chutz min hamayim u'min hamelach. You also can use meiser sheni money. Right. Well, so what's done with meiser sheni money? So remember, in a 7-year cycle, so the first and second year are you take off 10%, and that's meiser sheni. And in the third year, it's Maaser Ani. And then fourth and fifth year, it goes back to Maaser Sheni. And the sixth year is Maaser Ani. So that 10% you take to Maaser Sheni, it's that you can use. You have to use it and eat it within the walls of Yerushalayim. And if it's a far trip and the fruits won't make it that long, you can redeem it onto coins and use the coins and buy something there. But this money has to be spent on food, anything except water and salt. Hanoder ben Amazon, somebody who takes a neder not to benefit from sustenance of a particular person or something like that. I don't know if you could actually, say that you're not. I will not sustain. Maybe you can. Hanoder ben Amazon mutter b'melach u'b'mayim. He's allowed to have salt and water. That doesn't count as sustenance or something that's sustaining.
So Gatorade and Powerade are okay.
Mayim. Yes. Yeah,
flavored water and electrolytes.
I'm not gonna pass him. I don't know. Ma'arvin Lenazir. And now back to the Erev piece. So you can make an Erev for a Nazir b'yayin. You can even use wine for a Nazir. U'Yisrael b'truma. Meaning, like, let's say you have a chatzer. Two guys live in a chatzer together, two different houses in one chatzer. One of them is a nazir, and they say, "Okay, let's join in this bottle of wine together. We'll keep it in my house. Keep it away from you. We'll keep it in my house, and hope I don't drink it." That's going to be so you might say, "Hey, no, how could he benefit? It's wine." But no, that's halacha. Marvin lenazir b'yayin. U'Yisrael b'truma. Even though Yisrael obviously can't eat truma. But he can benefit. He can make an error with that as well. What's the reason? Rashi says. I gave the case of Erev Chatzeres. Rashi says Ma'arvin Lenazir Eruve Tchumen, which is probably even more of a chiddush, because what we said for Tchum is that you have some food that belongs to you in another place, and that will be an extension of yourself, and you can go 2,000 amos not only from where you are, but from where that thing is. So we typically learn about it as a loaf of bread, but over here we're saying it could even be wine, and even if he's a nazir, that's a bechidish. He's benefiting from wine over here. So Rashi says, because even though it's not fitting for him, it's not fitting for someone else. Because it's something people can benefit from, the Rabbanon allowed that. And he's shalva truma dehachazi lekohen. And same thing for the truma, says Rashi. Okay. Sumchus omer bechulin. Sumchus says it's for chulin. Meaning you can only use chulin. Rashi says, avalo betruma, dimidi dehachazi le beinan. And then the Gemara is going to try to figure out, well, why is it different for wine? So, but Simchus argues on the case of Chulin. He says, no, Yisrael needs to make it on Chulin. He can't make it on Truma because he can't eat it. And we're going to have to solve the problem of, well, why does he not argue on the wine case for the Nazir? Yeah?
Well, we say that someone else can have the wine in the case of the Nazir. Are we talking about someone else in the family? And a daf has to be in the family, could even be an orach, even a guest.
I don't know if there's any family.
In terms of guest, you can then say the same.
No, I don't know if it's a family. I think just that in general, it's something that is fitting for Jews to eat, or some Jews to benefit from.
Mm-hmm. Most Jews can have wine. I don't know most.
Well. Okay, so maybe we'll see that. That could be a distinction. I'll have to see in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to discuss that a little bit later on. In Lamed Amidbeis, if you can wait a week or two, we need to Shem. Try to contain ourselves. Okay, and Ula Kohen the base pras. It also for a Kohen in a base pras, meaning that the food that he has. Like being an extension, if that what if that's in a base pras? Now a base pras is a location that has a suffix of tumah. There are different types of batei pras, but basically it's a place that has a suffix of tumah and where you know machmer that a kohen should go in there. So what if he has his bread, his portion of food that's a connection in there where he can't really access? So is that a problem? So. And Rashi just tells us that this is not part of Sumchus's comment. This is separate. Back to the Tanakhama. Ula Kohen bebeis pras. Yeah. So yeah. So right. Sumchus somer b'chul and Rashi says over here. Ula Kohen bebeis pras. Stama he. That's Stam. It's the Tanakhama. V'lav Sumchus kamer lav. And he says manich an erev la Kohen bebeis pras. You can put an erev for the Kohen in a base pras, meaning the erev, the food that you're using for the erev, for the Kohen in the base pras. Afal gav de beina de matzila meizel mishkalei umichlei hasam. Even though the whole concept of the food being an extension of you is that you can go into that place and eat there on Shabbos. So that's the concept that you're going to be able to go and access that place. So if you can't access it, how could that be an extension of you? And the Kohen can't access the base pras, right? So wrong. Because otherwise, how can he make this place a shvisa? Bahu duchta de lemehavi ki ilu shavas sham. How can you consider it? Reading Rabban Rashi. How can you consider it that's your shvisa? You can't go there. It's a base pras. So a base pras shaper dami. It's fine in the base pras to sfeik it derabanan who umutter likanes alidei nefuach, because it's a safik derabanan, and therefore what you're allowed to do is nefuach means that there's a certain trick that a kohen can blow the space in front of him. Because just not to get into the details of base pras right now,
because we're talking about moving dirt essentially. Is it dust?
No. So over here we're worried about the bone fragments.
Right, but all day you're going to be moving around dust or dirt, and then you have an issue of smoothing.
We're not worried about the stuff under it. We're not worried about the stuff under it. We're worried about bone fragments that would be possibly floating there. So as long as you blow in front of you, this is a hetter that we apply for at least sometimes for a coin to go through, especially like when it comes to Korban Pesach. It's a whole separate sugya that Gemara's not going to deal with yet. I don't know if Erevin will deal with it, but it will get there because it's a differentiation between we're talking about barley corn, right? Saorish sized bone fragments, but it has to be a kazayas of flesh for it to be tumas ohel. But we'll see if we get to that. So the bottom line is that the Tanakhama is saying over here that This is fine for coin and the base pras. Rashi is explaining because the base pras, there's a way for the coin to access it. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilo bein hakvaros, even in between the graves, that would be fine. Rabbi Shiachol lechotz, because he's able to make a mechitza. Rashi says lasos mechitza, the lelech velecho, and go and eat there. He can do certain tricks to avoid going in a tiny place, and there, it's doable that he can access it on Shabbos. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ein lamidin min haklalos." We don't learn from a general rule. If we see like a klal, we can't learn from it. What that means is that we can't just because you hear a klal doesn't mean you could just apply it to every case, because there's always exceptions. And even if included the klal is an exception, right? Even if it says all of this except this, and you say, oh well, it listed the exceptions, but there could likely be more exceptions. As people who learn Gemara, we know this is true. So don't, if you hear a klal, don't paskin right away. Learn through Shas. Ask the Bali Masora, your Rebbe, and then figure out. Don't just like, oh, I read a Mishnah, there was a klal, so now I know the halacha. This is going to be the first zikr point over here. So Chaf Zayin is a kazoo. It's a kazoo. And the kazoo over here is being blown by. There's a music school that had a general rule that all instruments are welcome, but there's actually an exception that they didn't allow the kazoo. So this dejected kazoo kid is going to have to find something else to do with his time and money. So we'll see. Those will be the next two zikra points. So anyway, we have this klal over here, and now we're going to have a bunch of different cases. Where we are going to demonstrate a klal and then exceptions to it. So get ready to explore sugyas and shas all over. So this is what Rabbi Yochan says. So midika amar afilu makam shenamar b'chutz, from the fact that Rabbi Yochan taught his teaching, even in the case of where it says chutz, mechlal delav hacha kai. It implies that this statement wasn't originally made on this Mishnah, because this Mishnah doesn't say chutz. Meaning that somebody arranged Rabbi Yochanan's statement in the Gemara. I mean, right, the Gemara was written over, the Talmud Bavli was written over 300 years. It was a 300-year process. So you put something on the page, someone adds something, someone says, hey, so who? Someone put this on the page 100 years earlier. I don't know what they were trying to say. So someone put Rabbi Yochanan's quote here, but the truth is Rabbi Yochanan probably didn't say it. He wasn't commenting on this Mishnah per se, because... Right, it says the chutz thing. So probably he said it somewhere else, and then it was applied to over here. So let's see. So let's try to figure out maybe a place that actually was said. So hecha. So where was it going on? Hasam kai over there. Where? Look over there. It's in kedushin. Kol mitzvos asei shezman grama anoshim chayevin v'noshim paturos. So here's the general rule. Mitzvah Seish is man grama. If it's a positive commandment that is time-based, if it's time-sensitive, time is what makes it come as opposed to circumstance. So you are, only men are obligated in them. And if it's a mitzvah Seish that's shloz man grama, it's circumstantial-based or something like that, or perpetual, then women are obligated too. So the klalahu, the whole mitzvah seishes man grama, nashim paturos. So because if we would take it at face value that this is the klal, this is the rule across the board, so we're going to pass it incorrectly. We're going to say that hari matzah simcha v'hakel the mitzvah seishes man grama who v'nashim v'nashim chayavos. Right, we're going to say that women don't have to do matzah, they don't have to have simcha and yom tov, they don't have to do hakel, right? Hakel is right, the gathering that they would do on the Sukkot following the Shemitah year, and they would gather to Yerushalayim. It's mentioned in Parshas Hazinu. They would gather to Yerushalayim and hear the Melech read from portions of Sefer Devarim. So women are obligated in this. It's actually explicit in the Pasuk. It says, right, Anashim Nashim V'taf should be there. But you would say, it's Mr. Saseh, Shazman Grandma, right? It only happens at a certain time. It happens on the Sukkot during the after the Shemitah year. So once every 7 years, and it's something you should do. So maybe women are patura, but they're not patura, but they're not. And same thing with matzah. So not the same thing with matzah, but the same concept with matzah. Matzah, women are obligated in matzah. And the reason for that is it's connected to the los asay of not eating chametz. So therefore, and you could also say with kiddush is a mitzvah asay that women are connected to, is shamar v'zachor. And so there are mitzvah asays, the mitzvah of simcha, right? V'simachta ata uveisecha, hari nashim b'mashma, says Rashi. Right? Women are included, v'simachta ata uveisecha, they're your house. So women are obligated to these. So don't tell me that any mitzvah asay shizman grama women are paturos from. It's not necessarily true. There are exceptions. V'chol mitzvah asay shizlo asman grama nashim chayavos. Oh, really? Women are obligated in every mitzvah that's Lozman Grama, Hari Talmud Torah, but we have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah that women are not obligated in. Now, yes, it's true, there are certain forms of, right, because the Pasuk says explicitly, Rashi quotes over here, Nashim Paturos, Dixiv Limaritamo Sanas Benechem, Velobinos, and Vidarshim Velobinosechem, right, that you teach your sons, there's a mitzvah, this is very fascinating, just in its own right, that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is learned from the Pasuk which tells you to teach it to your children. So there's and based on if you see the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, like it becomes apparent that's just a fascinating concept. That's the sheer of its own of why that would be, why does Hashem tell us to learn Torah in the mitzvah of teaching Torah to your children, but the Gemara darshens b'neichem v'lo b'noseichem. So there's no obligation for women to in Talmud Torah. However, of course, women are obligated to learn what they need to learn as a hechsher mitzvah for basically whatever they need to do, which is, first of all, halachos that they have to keep. They have to learn those halachos, obviously. If they're cooking, a whole bunch of halachos. Shabbos they're obligated in. Nida, of course. So there's so many halachos they have to learn. And of course, whatever generally they have to learn just to know who they are, what it means to be Jewish, what it means to be generally inspired and muster. So there's plenty that women have to learn. One of my rabbis, Rav Rosner, was here a few weeks ago. So he said, like, halavai men would know all the Torah that women have to know. Like, halavai, it's really an incredible amount. But the obligation of Talmud Torah of, learning things that may not necessarily apply to you and learning it again and again and alumdus and this and that, that we get schar for every moment, or so women also do, but we're obligated in that, and therefore we get more schar for that in every moment, and women are not obligated to that. Okay. Period of Arivia. Right, so reproducing. This is also something that it's a discussion, but women are not obligated in it. It's
disagrees with this, which I don't know how he disagrees with the Gemara.
Right, so there's some, but they definitely get what the assist, and it's some sort of mitzvah. So the post can discuss a woman's role, but the straight up obligation of period of Rivia is not included in. For no, women are not included in this obligation. They're not. It's not the derech of women to be conquerors, and it's mentioned in this pasuk that there should be to conquer the world. So okay, upidyon haben, and also pidyon haben is the mitzvah. The mitzvah says shel hazman grama v'nashim paturos. But so pidyon haben, also women are not obligated in it, because women aren't redeemed in the first place, so they wouldn't be the ones to redeem. And therefore we see other examples. So don't tell me that there's a klal, a mitzvah that women are obligated or not obligated. There are exceptions. So, right, don't paskin based on a mishnah, don't paskin based on a klal. Elam Rabbi Yochanan ein lamidin min haklalos, so afil makom shenemar shemar b'chutz. So, and Rabbi Yochanan said, no, we only learn, we don't learn klalos over here, even when it says chutz. So I don't know. I guess we have to take a look at the Mishnah in Kiddushin. I apologize for not. It was. See, I don't know if the Mishnah in Kedushin actually uses the Lashon of Chutz, because as we quoted it, it did not. So we will see soon a teaching with that does quote Lashon of Chutz. But I wasn't prepared to prepare, so I didn't get a chance to look at Kedushin yet. But anyway, that's one example of klal that definitely has exceptions. Amar Abaye v'Yisayim Rav Yirmiyah Af Ananami Tanina. We also learned it. Od klal acher amru. There's another klal that said this is anybody who's on board for Mishnah Yomis, which just finished Zavim today, and is starting Tevil Yom tomorrow. And you can finish in less than 2 weeks. Finish Tevil Yom in less than 2 weeks. Two Mishnahs a day. So I believe this past week or end of last week we did this Mishnah in Zavim. Od klal acher, another klal that was said regarding Zavim. Amru, they said kol shenisa al gabe hazav, anything that is carried on top of that is zav carries tame. Sorry, shenise al gabe hazav. Yeah, anything that a zav carries is tame. V'chosha zav nisa alav, and anything that carries a zav is tahor. Chutz min haroy lemishkav u'moshav, except for something that's roy lemishkav u'moshav, right? So if a zav lies down on a table, he's carried on a table, so a table that's not for mishkav u'moshav, so therefore that would not become tameh. But anything he carries, you put the table on him, right? So, you know, probably apologize. No, but if you load something up on him, he carries it, it's tameh. But also for adam, and also an adam is an exception. If a zav is on top of adam, he touches another, adam is going to be tameh. Okay, so now that's what the Mishnah says. We just looked at in zav. The Suleika, says the Gemara. And really? There are no other exceptions. We said, Chutz min aroy mishkav moshav. V'ha'ika merkav. But there's also what's called merkav. If a zav rides on something, so if a zav rides on something, also that thing will become tameh. So merkav is a different category. So, So this seems to be the exception. But hi, Merkav, hechi dami. So what is Merkav? Idi yosiv alei, hainu moshav. If he's sitting on it, so that's called moshav. So meaning like Merkav, what is Merkav distinct from moshav? Anan hachi kamrinan. So this is what we said. Ha'ika gaba da ukafa. It's if he's on top of a saddle, the ukafa. Detanya ha'ukaf tame. Moshav, the hatafos tame merkav. So basically, what this is is that this is the part that he's not sitting on. There's a part of the saddle that he's not sitting on, but he's holding on to it, or the handle, whatever you call that. I don't know. And so that's what's merkav. So even though, right? Because again, if he's carrying it, that's not a problem. But this part, he's not sitting on it, but he's riding on it, using it for riding, and that's included, so that would be another case, another exception. So even though we said nothing except for Mishkav and Moshav, but there's actually another exception. So we say even send chutz there. And there's another thing that was chutz l'chutz.
This presumes, or presupposes that the handle is not...
It's not being touched.
Is distinct, right. So that the tumah would not...
Yeah, I guess so.
Automatically, or it's not automatically
humming
when the writing portions.
Yeah. Ha'ukav tameh, tafus tameh. And the tafus is the part that he grasps. So I guess, is it two different pieces? I'm not sure how it's made. Okay. Yeah, whatever it is. Elo shmamina. Okay. Amar Ravina v'Simar Rav Nachman Af Ana Nami Tanina Bechol. So here's another example. Bechol Ma'arvin Mishtatvin Chutz Min Amayim V'Melach. Anything except for water and salt. I mean, that's our mission. Suleika V'Ha'ika K'mehin U'Pitrios. But we also have different types of like mushrooms and truffles. So those also you would not be able to use. So we see that even if it says chutz, these things are you can't necessarily learn from the klal. Okay, hakol nikach b'kesef ma'aser v'chulei. Anything, you can buy anything with the kesef of ma'aser sheni, except for water and salt. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, the machlokas regarding this chad masni eruv. V'chad masni amaiser. So the following machlokas, so one said it regarding eruv, and one said it on maiser. What? So masni eruv, Loshna, so Schad Masna Erev, so one Seder on Erev is the following, right? We've just been getting an introduction to this Machlokes. Loshna Ela Mayim Bifnei Atzmo. Umelach Bifnei Atzmo. De'ein Ma'arvin. Ava B'mayim Umelach. Oh, no, that's a dish. That's a dish. If you mix the water and the salt together, so that Ma'arvin, then you could use that. Right? V'chad Masni Amaiser. One said, that's actually a din for Meiser. Lo shanu el mayim b'fnei atzmo melech b'fnei atzmo de'in nikchin aval mayim u'melech nikchin b'kesef Meiser. Okay, so right, one said this din. Right, so here the machlokas. One said, there was an exception stated that this only applies if there's water and salt are separate, but if they're together, then that works. And there's a machlokas amorayim. Was it said there's a machlokas amorayim. Was that stated regarding Erev, or was that, I mean, that you can mix the water and salt together, that works for Erev, or is that stated regarding Meiser? So, man de masnia Meiser, the one who says that it's for Meiser, kosher kena Erev, for sure for Erev, because Meiser is going to be more strict. Meiser is a deraisa, Erev is a derbanan, so it's for sure going to be more strict, and in general, there are higher standards for Meiser Sheni, as we're going to learn, there are more laws that restrict Meiser Sheni. So, the one who says that this kula was stated regarding Meiser, for sure would agree with Erev. Uman demasnia Erev, so the one who says on Erev, ava Meiser, lo. So that's enough gemina between their opinions. So, my taima, why not? Peira be'inan, because we need fruit, but as we're going to see, fruit is like quite inclusive. Rashi says, kidalkaman michla luprat, but we're going to see throughout this Amud and Amud Beis, that when we say fruit, we don't necessarily mean fruit. We mean something fruit-like, which will include fish, as we'll see shortly, and meat and other things. So I'm not sure. I think we'll see, have more clarity why it's referred to that. But I guess something that has something that comes out of it, whatever it is, but something that's not water and not salt. So you need, so my time of pay Rabbi. He also Rabbi Yitzchak. So when Rabbi Yitzchak came, it's from Eretz Yisrael, Masnia Meiser, so he taught it specifically on Meiser. He said that, when do we say this water and salt thing, that even if you mix water and salt, that's for Meiser. And then Kol Shekain on Erev. Meisve, so he was challenged, and he says, hey Rabbi Yehuda, with the following braisa. Hey Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, lifnei Rabbi Eliezer, right, so Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish said in front of Rabbi Eliezer, "Shall base Abba hayu lo klinsir bekesef meiser." In my father's house, I guess Gadish's house, they would buy brine with meiser sheni money. So brine is made of, right, basically salt and water. So we see that's the case. Amar lo. He said to him, Rabbi Eliezer said to him, Shema lo shamata, maybe you didn't hear properly, Elisha kishe karve dagim, maybe you only heard it regarding karve dagim, where there were the innards of fish, ma'orvin behen. Right? So there were fish innards mixed in. That's what it was talking about. It wasn't just stomp brine, it must have been brine with some fish innards in there. So that is, Rabbi Eliezer is rejecting the possibility of salt water alone. Vafilu Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish. So even if you'd say Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, who had a different impression that brine was fine, lo kamar ela betzir deshumna depeira. He only says it where it's brine with the fat of a fruit, meaning a fish. Right? Rashi says shumna peira. Afilu kishein karve dagim meorven bo yesh sham ktsas mishamnon im hamayim amelach. There's some of the fish oil or whatever mixed in, which makes it not just salt and water. So what he's saying is that not only did Rabbi Eliezer reject the possibility of water and salt, but even Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish is only saying it if there's like some fish oil of some sort in there. But water and salt on its own, clearly, this Brisa disagrees with. Avomayim umela, right? Just from the parahi. Avomayim umelach, lo amar, lo. But mayim umelach on its own would not be acceptable, and therefore that rejects this, what Rabbi Yitzchak is teaching, that this kula was stated by Meiser. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Lo nitzricha ela shenosan l'sochan shemen. No, we need it, meaning to teach us that if they in a case where they put in shemen, right? Rashi says, Hod demastin Rav Yitzchak mayim u'melech ha'ma'orvin nikhin ela kishenosan l'sochan shemen. We're not saying water and salt stam. Water and salt stam would not work. Rav Yitzchak wasn't saying that would work. He meant if they put some oil, some olive oil in it as well. So I guess any oil. Amar le abaye v'tepuk le mishum shemen. What are you talking? So then, but oil on its own is fine. So like you say, no. When can I use water and salt? I can use water and salt if there's oil mixed in. Well, I could also use oil on its own. So what's the chiddush over here? What are you telling me? Oil and salt. So it's like tepuk le mishum shemen. So it's because of the oil. It's not because of the water and the salt. What's the chiddush? So lo tzrichu, we need it shenasan demei mayim umelach b'havla. Because we put the value of the water and salt in behavla, and it's like swallowed and it's like included. Meaning, Rashi says, b'shvil ha-mayim v'ha-melech kana ha-shemen. Because of the water and the salt, he bought the wine ubiyoker for more v'havliya bo demehen, and it was included in the price. V'chi ha-gav nashari Rabbi Yitzchak. Meaning that the meiser money is used. It's not just he's not just buying oil. The salt and the water in there raised the price significantly of the oil. So we are using meiser on the water and the water part of it and the salt part. We are using that, but it's okay if there's oil mixed inside. But of course, Rabbi Yitzchak did not mean that water and salt, even mixed together, would be enough to use your meiser money on. And then the Gemara is going to discuss this further. And I think actually we covered the next 2 points as well. Yeah, I think we covered the next two separate points. I don't remember in particular what they were, so we'll have to post it later. I think the second one actually is the salt. It is the salt and the water mixed together. So right, this kazoo player is very sad because the music school, which had a klal that you can any instruments are accepted, but he was but there was actually an exception that not the kazoo. So he went to the store and spent his meiser sheni money on salt and water that he mixed together, and I guess we'll have to see what the third point was of havla was.